For our responsive reading here this morning on the 9th of October, 2022, we read Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 to verse 23. So if you have a Bible, please open to Proverbs chapter 5 and follow along with the following words. It is quite evident that when you look at chapter 5, we are considering one complete context, one complete thought, one complete subject matter, that King Solomon is trying to stress with his son, probably Rehoboam, who would eventually succeed Solomon to the throne. Okay? And we can get that context by looking at verse 3. Let's just back up to verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter. How bitter? Well, as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. And so we're talking about the sin of adultery. If one is married and decides to be unfaithful. Or we're also addressing the subject of fornication, where individuals are not married, okay, and they decide to jump the gun and jump into bed before marriage. So it can be applied either way, either in the act of fornicating or in the act of adultery, okay? As well as the sin that we can commit in our heart and mind, which Jesus addresses on several occasions. But when we come to verses 15 and following, what Solomon here is trying to stress, I believe, is to be overly contented with the wife of one's youth, or the husband of one's youth. There's no need to go out there and look for strange flesh. Notice how verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman. So we're talking about someone who is not anyone's spouse. This is a strange lady. Now, she might be a spouse of someone, and she's the one in the street cheating, or she could be a single individual who's a lady of the night. Okay, making her living by selling her body to others. That is meant by the strange woman. Okay, so we're looking at a man, young man, Rehoboam. Maybe at this time he's not yet married. Or maybe he is. We don't know at what point in Rehoboam's life. Was he still single or was he a married man? But for my argument, let's make believe for the sake of argument that he's still single. All right, maybe he's already been matched with his future bride, and there's yet to be a wedding. Matter of fact, there's not even an engagement yet. And so Daddy Solomon is preparing him for the life of marriage, what awaits this young man. And it's very easy for a king back in those days to have more than one wife. We see that quite often, even with Father Abraham, okay, even with Father Jacob. The fact of having multiple wives seems to have been something that was quite common. We look at Cain. Did not Cain have two wives? All right. And so this was something maybe that was acceptable. These were not harlots. These were actually women that were married to the individual. So there was multiple wives to a given family. But at the very beginning, it was always one man to one woman in the model of Adam and Eve. But in this case, he's warning his son, don't look for strange flesh. And again, Solomon should know this because his downfall was because he sought other women and other concubines who stole his heart from his God. So he knew firsthand. But in verses 15, drink waters, now notice, out of thine own cistern. Notice the fact of ownership and possession, and running water out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be, notice, only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, now watch, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Notice how Solomon is taking earthly items that Rehoboam has in his possession, and he's telling his son to enjoy life with the things that he possesses. He doesn't want him to drink from other people's wells or other people's fountains. And he takes that image and he brings it over, it seems, in his relationship with his future wife, or maybe his current wife. You are to be satisfied. You are to be enraptured with your own wife like you are raptured and you relish the possessions that you have and the joy and the satisfaction that that well or that cistern gives to you when you drink that fresh, cold water. That is your well. That is your cistern. It's not a stranger's that you're drinking from. You're drinking from your own well. Therefore, drink and enjoy your wife of thy youth. Not a strange woman, but the one that you pledged. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. And notice, be thou ravished always with her love. Don't be ravished with the love of a strange woman that will drop you like a dime or drop you like a rock or take you. Notice, she, if you're not careful, the strange woman will eventually own the things that you once owned. And they will belong to her. Because in order for you to be deceived with her love, she wants payment for her service. And what are you going to give in exchange for her service? Your cistern, your well, your gold, your silver, your soul. That's what I think Solomon here is stressing. When you turn your life over to a strange woman and you forsake the wife of thy youth, then you're in the spider's web. And the spider will suck the life out of the bug, which would be Rehoboam. He's the bug, and the strange woman is the spider. And why will thy son, and why will thou, verse 20, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? And again, this goes back to his illustration here in verse 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad in rivers of water. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. If you fall for the stranger, she's going to own everything that you once possessed. That's her payment. That's the bill of sale. That's what you're going to lose. Because what? Notice verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his doings, goings. So Solomon wants Rehoboam to realize that while you think you're doing these things under the cover or in darkness, the Lord is watching. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall behold it with the cords of his sins. Meaning he becomes entrapped, he becomes enslaved to his sexual passion, whereby again the spider has trapped the bug. The bug doesn't trap the spider traps the bug. And notice, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he will go astray. His soul will die. And so, beloved, again, chapter 5 is very sound advice for parents to give to a daughter or a son who's in that age bracket where the peer pressure is very strong to conform to the herd and to give up their virtue that was a gift from the Almighty. And so talk about sex education. You don't need public school, nor the playground to teach your children sex ed. It's right here in the Bible. And so parents need, especially Christian parents, need to be on top of the situation to the best of their ability. And to share this particular chapter without blushing, it's not filthy, it's not lewd, it's not dirty, it's biblical. And maybe if we teach these things with a sense of love and urgency, it will leave an impression on the youth who are falling into cracks and crevices as I speak. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word. Amen.